Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the fourth episode of From the Lion's Cove. I'm your host, Marcelo, aka Cello, and I have a special guest with me, my former high school basketball coach, Johnny Anselmo.
What's up, Marcelo? Thank you for having me.
Johnny,
appreciate the opportunity.
It is a pleasure having you on this show, but let me give a proper introduction to Johnny. So, he was a former coach for Mayfield High School and Orange High School. He's a certified referee by Northeast Umpires Association. He's called over 1,000 games, which is crazy. And he led the 2017-2018 Mayfield Wildcats to a 20-2 record, which is honestly probably the best record in school history, even though it wasn't counted, but definitely the best record, honestly, one of the best coaches I've ever had. So, yeah, it's great having you on the podcast, and I'm very excited to talk some basketball and life today, Coach.
I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, it's going
to
be
awesome. And by the way, that record counts to a lot of people.
Yeah.
We remember. That's all that matters.
Right, exactly. So my first question is, what inspired you to become a basketball coach, and how did your journey ultimately begin?
So my journey began it's actually funny. So there's a rec league that was played at – in the field house at Mayfield High School called the MBA. That's what they called it. The Mayfield.
Right.
You remember the MBA?
Oh, yeah.
It's just a rec league that like plays on Saturdays once a week, practices once a week. So it wasn't a lot of practice time. Well, you don't get, you maybe got to play like 6 to 8 games throughout the winter. That's how it started. I was like, you know what, let's give it a shot in this MBA, this rec league. I know they were like, I knew the guy that ran it, Sean. And it was just a volunteer job. It wasn't for any money or anything. And I'm like, you know, I'm really into the sport of basketball. You know, I was, you know, throughout my high school career, I went to all the varsity games and, you know, watched how the coaches when I was in high school were doing things and was like, man, it'd be cool if I could do some of my own things from the coaching aspect. So I was like, let me start kind of at the bottom of the totem pole with the rec league and get my feet wet with coaching. And, you know, I started in the NBA with my buddy Nick. You know Nick very well.
Of course.
So he's the assistant varsity coach at University School now. He does great things over there at the home of the Preppers. But so we started in the NBA a couple years, and I remember getting to the championship in the first couple years. And it's been so long, I don't even remember if I won or not. But we had a lot of success in the practices. I wish we had more practice time because practice is so key. But so I started in the NBA, and then in the winter of 2016-2017, I believe, I was out of high school, obviously, and Coach Nemzura was the coach at Mayfield,
right?
The varsity coach. Coach Bandera, who was the freshman coach for the longest time, stepped down. I think he got the head coaching position for football, so that took a lot of his time away.
Okay.
So I'm like, this is a cool opportunity to see if I can go for this, you know, and go up. Because the MBA, the rec league that I did was 7th and 8th grade. So, like, the freshman coach opened up at Mayfield. So Joe Hayes, who was the teacher there, you know, he technically was the head coach because he works for the school. They kind of get the precedence there.
Right.
But so I was kind of like his co-coach, if you will. And me and him, we started the year before you. You know, you were in 8th grade at the time, which was my first year. So that's how it all began. And then I did 3 years at Mayfield. Ross Bandera ended up coming back the next year, my second year.
Right.
I got to work one with Joe, two with Ross, and then I moved on to Orange. So that's kind of how it all just got started. Just was like, you know what, let me try this rec league and just see how this goes and just get my feet wet. If I didn't like it, I could always just stop, you know?
Right.
So when I got the coaching job at Mayfield, I obviously stopped doing the rec thing. So that's how it kind of got all started.
Right, right. So obviously going back to the 2017-2018 Mayfield Wildcats season, I mean, we went 20-2 as freshmen, which is pretty impressive. I mean, the jump from 8th grade to 9th grade, totally different ball games. Speed was definitely much faster.
Right.
More athletic kids. So it was awesome. So just talk a little bit about that season, because that season was just special for a lot of people.
What was your guys' record in 8th grade?
I think we won the conference. We lost one game.
Oh, really?
To Kenston off of a buzzer beater.
Oh, Kenston. We got him back the next year, right?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
So the 2017-18 class, your freshman year, that was my second year with Mayfield. Joe ended up, I think, going to the varsity staff, Ross, because Ross came back.
Right.
So it was my first year with Ross Bandera, who, you know, I owe a lot of thanks to. I learned so much from him. He was coaching several years before I ever got started. So I learned a lot from him. I remember losing the first game by a lot at Nordonia.
By like 30.
Yeah. So that was a wake-up call. That was an eye-opener for me as a second-year coach. First game with Ross. You know, Ross and I thought that we were ready, you know, for that season, that we had prepared you guys for battle. Obviously that wasn't the case. So we had our eyes, you know, wide open after that game. Like, okay, we did not, you know, go through that month of practice prior to the first game. We didn't go hard enough. We didn't do everything, you know, more. We didn't do things well enough, crisp enough, hard enough in practice. Didn't push you guys to get ready. The game plan was bad. So we went back to the drawing board. And I remember, I mean, we only lost two games, like you said, 20-2, right? It was like so weird because it was the first game of the season and then the last, wasn't it? No, it wasn't.
It was like towards like the, I think it was towards the Christmas because those were two out-of-conference games.
Right. Brecksville, maybe?
Yeah, it was Brecksville and Nordonia.
It was right around Christmas. So two non-conference games. So looking back on that season, I'm very proud of our conference record. Obviously, there was eight teams in the conference, seven other than Mayfield. So we went 14-0. You played them twice. So that 14-0 conference record's definitely something that I value a lot, you know, because that's the teams that you want to beat, the teams that you're, you know, your rivals, so to speak, not Brunswick or Nordonia, who only play once a year. So the conference record is something that I look back at and I'm very proud of. Another thing that I look back on from that year was some of the practices would get a little out of hand because a lot of your teammates, classmates, were a bunch of goofballs, you know? So, but, you know, I learned a lot from that year. Like I said, working with Ross, you know, he kind of gave me the X's and O's type of, and he kind of just dealt with like a lot of the more off the court stuff. You know, but we put our brains together about a lot of the X's and O's, the plays. He kind of had me be the offensive coordinator, if you will, using a football reference. What offense should be run, what play should be run based on out of bounds. I mean, it wasn't all me. I mean, I'm not going to take all the credit, but, you know, I don't want to because Ross is a hell of a coach. But so that season was a lot of fun. And I remember we had such good crowds for that game.
Great crowds.
You know, it's actually funny, like when our game would end, it would kind of clear out a little bit for the JV game.
Right.
And then more students would come for the varsity. But, man, we had a heck of a run, man. And I think the most signature wins of that season were the two Brush ones, especially the Brush at home. Yeah. Because we had beat them the first meeting there. So you knew they had that second meeting.
Right.
Circled, like, we're going to get them back, and we were able to beat that team twice. You know the saying, it's hard to beat a team twice. Be able to beat both of our conference, or all seven of our conference opponents twice, is probably the most proud thing of that season for that year.
Yeah, and also, too, I mean, even, like, throughout travel basketball, I mean, we've played against, like, you know, the same kids ever since we were in, like, the third grade. So, like, obviously, you know, they had, like, like their group. I know, like, you know, Madison had like two solid guys. I remember Brush, they kind of lost some players, but they also had, you know, a few stars there. Mm-hmm. And then like Chardon had a great group. Riverside was always tough. So like it was just like, you know, you got to see like other people get better, mm-hmm. and it made you want to work harder and like compete more.
I remember that year I believe we held 15 players, right? So the playing time aspect of it was very difficult because it's hard to get a lot of the kids in when you have 15 rostered players. You know, Ross and I did the best we could there. But we had our main guys. Obviously you were a part of that. I look back now, I actually just remembered, because that Brunswick loss, which was the last loss of our season, was in 2017, and we actually went undefeated in the calendar year of 2018. So that was cool not to lose after the new year.
Yeah.
That was something really cool about that season. So to come back from Brunswick, the calendar flips after winter break, we don't lose the end of the season. That was really cool. So that was a really fun year. Obviously, probably my most fun I have winning is a lot of fun. It cures a lot of things.
Oh yeah, of course.
So can kind of just makes you feel some type of way that you're out there, you know, doing the right things and making an impact on kids. And it just lifts the morale, obviously. So.
Oh yeah. And also too, we just had a great team chemistry, and I feel like you and Ross as like coaches, like you guys really just, you know, focus on that team chemistry and playing as a team,
mm-hmm.
which is key for sure, especially if you want to win games.
Right. When all those kids that you were playing against one another all those years, you know, as you guys get older, you guys improve, right?
Right.
So it's even harder as the years go on to beat the same guys over the same teams over and over. So you guys did such a good job. In eighth grade, you said you lost one game, ninth grade, two games. So, I mean, it's even harder to come back the next year as ninth graders and beat those same teams. So that's something that, you know, your class should be super proud of. So I'm glad I was part of that.
But. Yeah, no, that was awesome. Truly something that I will never forget. All right. So what do you believe were the most important lessons that you aim to instill in your players both on and off the court?
Well, definitely self-belief, self-confidence. Believing in yourself, because I think that the number one thing that coaches need to instill into players is, you know, the confidence and belief that you have your set of goals, right?
Right.
That you set out for yourself. So my job as a coach, not only to coach the game, you know, and all the plays and all that, the X's and O's stuff, but to get you to believe that the goals that you have written down or thought of in your head and stored in your brain, that you can accomplish and achieve those. Because I can believe in you or any player for that matter as much. That doesn't matter. It's right. Ultimately up. You're on the court, not me, right? So
right.
I have to be able to get you to be able to believe that you can achieve and accomplish what you set out for, your goals. It's like, so if you, before freshman year, as a ninth grader on Mayfield, were like, okay, these are my goals for this year. My job is to not only coach the game, but that's only half the battle. The other half is to get you to believe that you can achieve those, right? You have to believe in yourself, have confidence when you go out there and play, because players that go out and are timid, not confident, scared to shoot, not able to play with the freedom that you need to be that you need to play with to be successful.
Right.
So that's like the number one thing, the lesson that I aim to instill. Yeah, it is self-belief, confidence, and the ability to get you or any player to believe that they can achieve their goals. So because that can just completely change the mindset of a player. It's like, okay, like I know my coach believes in me, but do I believe in myself that I can do this, right? That's like the main number one thing. So that's what I tried. You know, when you made a mistake, it's not, you know, yell at you like you're in the military, you know, like it's like yell at you like it's the end of the world, right? Like I've never really been an advocate of coaches who are like scream, scream, scream all the time.
Yeah.
And like demean, right? You know, degrade. You know, I'm always trying to find, you know, the kind of like the happy medium of, okay, you know, I need to get on my players because they're not either obeying rules, listening, not running the play right, all that stuff. But also saying, you know, hey, you know, it's okay. Everyone makes mistakes. Go out there and hey, you know, you can do better next time. You can learn from this. You know, there's a bunch of, you know, there's a lot of people who say a loss isn't something to sulk about. It's a lesson. A loss is a lesson, right? Yeah. So being able to get your players to believe that not every loss is the end of the world, right? Not every mistake is the end of the world. You know, you don't, just because you turn the ball over doesn't mean you're going to get benched. You know, some players have that, be like, oh my God, I can't make a mistake, right? Yeah. Like, my coach is going to take me out. He's going to scream at me till the freaking end of dawn, right? Yeah. So, like, being able to just uplift instead of demean, you know? So that was something that I learned throughout my years, is the proper way.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
To get the most potential and get the best out of your players is to uplift them as much as possible. Now, there's times where you need to really get out a player if he's really just being a clown,
right?
or not, you know, making the same mistake 10 times in a row.
Yeah,
that's where you can get really frustrated as a coach. But trying to find that discipline and just kind of like that balance, I guess, of uplifting, but also, you know, putting your foot down and saying, I'm not going to accept some of this shenanigans.
Right.
Sometimes that happens. When you deal with 14, 15-year-old kids, you're going to have shenanigans. So when you find that balance as a coach, that can really help the player and just the team in general. So I would say that self-belief, self-confidence, and that balance between, you know, yelling at a player or demean, you know, you don't really want to demean them because then you can lose confidence. It's
right.
Like, oh, it's my, you know, like you're, it's almost like you're rubbing salt on a wound, right?
Yeah.
You're already upset yourself because you turned the ball over or you ran the play wrong or whatever. Right. So if I go and yell at you for 20 minutes about it, does that make anything really that much better?
No.
It's no, hey, let's, it's okay. You know, a lot of the times in practice, you know, if something that, would happen that would be incorrect or a mistake of some sort, I would just like take the player out real quick, talk to him, not raise my voice, just be like, hey, like just normal man-to-man talk, and just be like, all right, you got that? And he'd be like, yes, coach. Okay, go back right up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
Stop practice, yell at the whole team, just pull you off to the side, say my few things, try to, like I said, find that balance between uplifting but not demeaning, and throw you back out there so you hopefully can learn better. So I think that answers your question.
Yeah, and also too, like kind of going back to like the confidence point. Like I remember being in seventh and eighth grade playing middle school basketball, and I was one of those kids who had like a lot of potential. I mean, I didn't work as hard, like for sure, and there's a lot of potential, and I was afraid to shoot the ball a lot, even though like you know eventually my role did become to score the ball a lot.
Right.
But I mean, what you said was right on the money. I mean, you instilled confidence like in me to become like a scorer and also like to have that freedom. Whereas
right.
like in seventh and eighth grade, I was so afraid to shoot the ball or make a mistake or force like a turnover. Whereas like, you know, that would just haunt me. And, you know, I was able to play with that freedom, which definitely helped throughout my high school basketball journey. Like
good.
Just like the way I, you know, looked at the game, I looked at the game, like, differently. Like, hey, like you have to score, like you have to do this in order for you to help out your team.
Right.
So like, yeah, that's something.
When you play more freely instead of like have to, almost like it's mandatory or like a requirement.
Yeah.
You know, that completely just opens up your game, you know, and instead of, you know, thinking of the negative of what you could potentially do, you're thinking, okay, you just think more positively, right? Like if you shoot the ball or as you're about to shoot, you're like, oh God, if I miss this, like, you know, what's going to happen? Like that's no way to play or think, you know, when you shoot the ball, it's like, hey, I can make this. Okay. I didn't miss. Guess what? I'm gonna make the next one.
Right.
And that's the uplifting and that's the confidence that I tried to instill. So,
right. So reflecting on your time coaching my class, what were some of the most memorable moments or games for you that you'll never forget?
I kind of said this in the first question. So just going back to that, it was definitely the Brush home game because that was huge for us because Brush was probably our biggest rival.
Yeah.
So beating them twice, and the second meeting was at Mayfield. So you knew they would come. That Brush team was just hungry for revenge.
Oh yeah.
From us beating them in the first meeting at their place. Like I said, the conference 14-0 record was very memorable. Even the first loss against Nordonia, it sticks with me. Like still to this day. I mean, really? We're how many years down the road?
Yeah.
That we're like
7 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Like that still sticks with me because it was so eye opening. Just being like, damn. Like, they just kicked our ass.
Yeah.
And, like, I thought, like, we had you guys ready. We were ready to – we could beat anyone.
Yeah.
That was a humbling experience. We were coming off, like, a decent year the previous year. You know, and I got – you know, I learned a lot in that first off season.
Yeah.
So when you were an eighth grader going into ninth grader, so that was my first year and the second year. You know, you learn a lot from your first year. You learn a lot from the first time you do anything to the second time compared to first, right? Like literally any aspect in life. So
true.
That first year, I reflected back that first off season, that first summer, and then we went into the next summer, Ross came back. That was your ninth grade year. So I learned a lot and I was like, okay, I'm not going to make the same mistakes I did as my first year. And we're going to do this better. We're going to do this differently, all that stuff. And then you lose by 40. And you're like, maybe, like, I don't even know where to go right now, right? Like, I thought I was ready. So that was memorable, just more of a dubious memory. But, man, what else? Do you remember any specific games? Maybe I'm not coming up with.
Yeah, actually.
Let me ask you the same question. What was memorable for you? Because they're all like. It was so long ago. So
I would say like the first ever home game in high school. Like that was probably.
Was that the North game?
Yeah. That was.
At least like, no, now I remember that.
That was one of like that was something that I'll never forget because my cousin was leaving for the Navy like the next day. And the game before we played Bedford Heights. And
I remember the Bedford. Yeah.
And he came to my game. I think that was one of like my poor shooting nights. I think I had like 6 points maybe, and I was like, I remember
the Bedford or the North game.
Bedford.
Okay.
So I texted my cousin. I was like, hey, like you have to come to like the next game. Like, you know, like I promise you it'll be like 10 times better. Like first home game. Like, you know, it's gonna be awesome. And then that was the night my first high school home game. I scored 20 points. Like in the day before like, he was leaving, so that was something that like
that definitely sticks with you.
And like I like prior to that, I mean, I think I scored 33 in an AAU game, but that was like my like that was like the game that was like that kind of changed like everything for me. Just like as a player, just being like a kid that had no confidence, kid who didn't really like you know believe in himself to you know. But we had a packed crowd that game too.
Yeah.
So just
first like, Friday home game of the year, Friday home North game. Rival,
and even for like a freshman game, like there was still a ton of people there. So that was one thing was one game
your classmates that weren't on the team were very supportive.
Oh yeah.
For us, and they were throughout your high school career as you guys became juniors and seniors. They always came to the games. I loved the support and the cheering that we got from all the parents came as well. So that's another thing to answer your question. Was the support that we got from game to game, especially at home. The parents always came of all 15 players, even if their kid wasn't playing.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
even if Everyone he was can. More of an end of the bench guy, you know, the mom and dad were there still cheering on all the other kids that maybe did get the luxury to play. So that was really cool. What was the last home game?
Yes. Yeah.
On the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. I was just going to talk about opponent? That. It was Hudson. So
Hudson.
God. So that game was awesome to me because, we were neck and neck with them the whole game. We thought we were going to pull away, but then they would come back. And then I remember there was like 8 seconds left and it was tied. And I went to go get the ball, and one of the kids shoved me. The ref saw it.
Foul.
So I went to the free throw line, made 2 free throws. Then I think they either made a shot or they missed. But then a few of our teammates, I think Riley, he made 2 clutch free throws, and someone else made 2 clutch free throws. And that was like my favorite because that was a great way.
What a way to end the year, man.
It was just a great like team win. Like we all just did our own role, our own job, and that was truly special. And it was like the last home game of the year.
And so, Hudson's always been a great program.
Awesome.
So they're always have like for whatever, I don't know what's in the water over there down in Hudson, but they're always so big, man. And we're like all these Italian kids that are a little bit smaller on the on the scale. So we were a little undersized in that game, so we were able to just fight and scratch and claw that one. And I remember it's the memories coming back to me. I remember when we kind of like either when you got fouled and made the shots, and we kind of like we had that feeling like I think we got this, you know. And I remember Bandy was always so animated, and I was like super animated, as you know. But Bandy wasn't as animated, but like he like broke out and like had this like animated emotional episode, like because like I said, it was the end of the year. We were going for 20 wins that day, right? So, like, that's 20-2. I mean, that's very hard to replicate. You know, I don't take that for granted whatsoever. But Ross, like, did this to the crowd. Like, get off and, like, stand for us. This is – we just went 20-2.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Let's hear it. And, like, that just – it just gives me chills right now thinking about it. But I remember, like, Bandy, like, he always did his signature fist pump. But when we kind of sealed that game, you know, with our free throws, maybe a turnover at the end or something. But he just – I remember him looking at the crowd and everyone just was like, they were going nuts for us, man. And I just – like I said, that's another memory that just sticks to me this day, this day.
Yeah, same. It's always going to hold a special place in my heart for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, you know, you left Mayfield and you went to Orange. So, what was the coaching transition like, switching schools and basketball programs?
So, I had 3 years under my belt at Mayfield, more of like in a – kind of like an assistant or like co-coach, if you will.
Right.
And going back to how I got started with Coach Nick, who's at University now. Nick was the JV coach at Orange when I was at Mayfield. I think he was freshman to start there, then he moved up to JV. But when he moved up to JV, the freshman position was now open because of his promotion.
Right.
So he was like, hey, you know, I know Mayfield's your alma mater. You know, you love it there, whatever. You know all the kids. But what are your thoughts on coming on your own and taking over for me in the freshman job now that he was up to JV? And It definitely was a decision that I took a lot of time to mull over.
Yeah.
Because leaving your home, so to speak, is obviously very difficult. Gets me out of it was something that got me out of my comfort zone. I've never obviously coached at a different school. So I was so comfortable with all the surroundings, all the coaches that I was working under from varsity to JV, you know, to Ross. And like, breaking out of my comfort zone was definitely something that I was like, wow, this is going to be a challenge. But, you know, it's always good to challenge yourself in life, and because you never know unless you do it, right?
Right, exactly.
Definitely a difficult decision, one that there was pros and cons to it. You know, it's hard to leave all the kids that you've coached, and because you want to, like, see their careers through, right? And still help out in any way you can as you guys move up from 10th to 11th to 12th grade. But then I also saw an opportunity to go work with a guy who is a super smart basketball mind, a great coach and one of my better friends at the time, and go work alongside him. And I thought that is an opportunity that just doesn't come along a lot in throughout life. So to be able to coach with one of your best friends, who in the same program, we were going to be able to practice together and just like coach together. And like, he would be on my bench, I would be on his, like, that's an opportunity that kind of like outweighed a lot of the things about coaching at home and coaching at Mayfield. I'm like, I don't think I should pass this opportunity up. Like, this might be the thing that makes me say yes to this. And I ended up pulling the trigger on it and signing the contract at Orange. And we had a really good year. I remember we started 3-3. A lot of the kids, you know, were doubting. We had a non-conference game against Cleveland Heights at home, and we lost by a lot. Let's just say, like almost like a Nordonia game from your year. So obviously a lot of doubt creeps in your mind, like, damn, like, we are not at that level.
Yeah.
But we ended up finishing like 14 or 15-5 or something like that. Okay. So we ended up having a good year and had a lot of fun. Unfortunately, the pandemic hit after that, and that was kind of the end of it. But just that was the transition. The decision was difficult. Early on, I was like, dang, I miss all the kids, you know, that I've been coaching the last couple of years. I miss the coaches that I've been working with. I miss working with Ross. Having that second guy or just that other coach was definitely a challenge. You know, I've never been on my own. Right. So being the leader of, you know, 14 ninth graders instead of having a guy that can kind of help you out and practice during the games, dealing with parents, all that stuff, that definitely was a challenge early on. You know, it wasn't all flying colors, you know, throughout that year. Like, everything was so wonderful all the time. You know, there was a lot of days I came home like, God damn, I wish I was back at Mayfield with Coach Bandera. You know, should I not have done this? Like, a lot, some second guessing, but I look back at it now and just be like, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I took that challenge. I got to meet a lot of another group, another batch of great kids from another school district. Got to work with Coach Nick, Coach Ash Ward.
Oh, yeah.
So they taught me things, you know, that I still am thankful for to this day. So that was a difficult yet, you know, it was a difficult transition, yet one I don't regret.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so this is a question, or not really, it's not really a question, but this is like my favorite. So let's talk about the Orange High School summer runs, which in my opinion, I think were like the best open gyms I've ever been a part of. I mean, you had kids coming from like different high schools, like to this gym.
Right.
You had Orange there, you had Warrensville Heights, you had Brush, you had just like, you had Mayfield. I mean, you had a bunch of kids just come into this gym literally just to play 5-on-5
in the summer.
So yeah, let's just talk about that just experience. I mean, because that was an incredible summer.
So we would split Orange Gymnasium into two gyms, so we'd go kind of like this way instead of the full main court. So, and we would have two games going on simultaneously. You know, this is kind of all credit to Ash, who had a lot of connections to Ash and Ward, the varsity coach at Orange at the time. So he would, you know, invite a lot of the kids to come up and play. And Nick was like, hey, why don't you invite some of the kids from Mayfield that, you know, I was close with and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how I was able to get you and Mike Favazzo and, geez, who else would
would call him? Luke.
Yep. So that was those were good. So, like, we pretty much was like, all right, like, we're going to have a Mayfield team of five, play like a Brush team of five, and then like play like an Orange team of five, and we would just go at it. And like, I remember sometimes Ash would play, and like,
he would play,
and like, he played college hoops at Youngstown State. He was a young guy, still in great shape, still a great player at the time, so he would just freaking pick on you guys sometimes. But those were fun, man. It was so intense. Like, it was almost like it was the freaking state tournament sometimes, right? Like, like, you just didn't want to lose because, like, did we do like a king of the court style? Like, if you lost, you were off, and like, no one wanted to leave the court. So, like, it was like do or die.
Yeah.
You wanted to win to stay on and bring on the next squad of five from whichever school is there.
Right.
And When you lost, it was just like, damn, I may not play for like two or three games, right? So it's like so deflating, and you're like, ah. And it was intense, man. No referees or anything like that. It was just kind of like call your own fouls, and like some fouls like were not even called, right? So those were some good runs, man. I mean, like I said, credit to Ash. He kind of orchestrated and conducted and created that whole thing. So, but I'm glad that, you know, he was like, hey, you know, bring some of your kids that you used to coach at Mayfield, and we want a Mayfield squad up here. So I just grabbed five of you guys, and some, you know, some kids wouldn't make it some days, but you know, we mixed and matched and had a great time. But, and sometimes when it was all over,
We would do drills.
We would do individual drills, and we would get the cones out. We would just do finishing drills, 3-point drills, 1-on-1 drills,
like just everything to really just like expand your game,
right? And improve your skills.
Yeah, and like that was awesome. I mean, the one drill I'll never forget. We did the in between the cones 1-on-1.
Mm-hmm.
You had like 3 dribbles, 4 dribbles. You had to make a move, try to get to the basket. I mean, like that
because those are game like,
right?
Because if you get a fast break and it's 1-on-1 in the basket, you defender basket, like, you know, fine tuning those. The moves that you have to make, the footwork, the English, you know, which hand you go up with, you know, can you pull off a Euro step? Can you do a spin move? Because you're going to need a kind of like a move to get a good shot on that. So, yeah, we practice that a lot because it was very game-like. That's how we always tried to do it, you know, in those individual drills, was everything that was that you can translate to the game. We try to replicate the game as much as you can in practice because, you know, you don't want to do things that and practice things that, you know, aren't really relative to the game because it's almost like pointless.
Right.
So,
yeah. Like,
those were some good times.
Oh, yeah. And also, too, this is one thing I'll never forget. I was thinking about this the other day. So I remember going into the first open gym run. And you brought like five kids from Mayfield. We were like, all right, like, you know, we'll see what this gym's like. Walk in, the music is just bumping, like, and this is when we played on the full court too.
Okay,
so like the main court. So we had everyone just like watching from like the stands. It was awesome, and like I was like, wow, okay, like this is crazy. So I remember it was us versus Orange, and Coach Ward played on the Orange side. Yeah. So I'll never forget this. So they kicked our ass. Like, they kicked our ass. And I'll never forget this because Aaron Zarbavel.
Yep, I remember him.
So, he – what's it called? He actually broke my ankle. Like, my ankle's never been broken before.
Crossed you up.
He did kind of push off a little bit. I'm not going to lie. But he still did break my ankles. He broke my ankles and then hit, like, a step-back 3 for the win. And I'll never forget, Coach Ward was like, man, like you Mayfield kids are soft. And, I remember I walked
out. That lit a fire, right?
And then, like, I walked out of there. I was like, man, like that's not how it, like, it should have gone.
Right.
Then I remember every time I came back to that gym after that, I made sure, like, I would, like, cook them. And, one thing, too, I'll never forget. I think I had half of, like, the team's points. And it was for the win. And I remember I had, like, one of, like, the Orange kids guarding me. I did a tween, like, between the legs, step back 3, went in. And I just turned to, like, the side. I was like, you guys, like, you can't guard me. But, yeah, it was, like, it was awesome. And also, like, it just like, fueled that fire, that, really, like competitiveness. And just, it just brought
those were so
that.
Competitive, so intense. And there was so much pride and bragging rights on the line. Like, again, it was the summer. It doesn't go towards your record, right? Like, those like, can sometimes be more memorable than a real game. But, like I said, they were so competitive. Like, no one wanted to lose. You know, nobody. No one wanted to have to go sit on the sideline and just wait till their next turn.
Yeah.
So, man, those were crazy.
A
lot of intensity.
Yeah, when I become a coach when I'm older, I'm definitely going to do that. That was awesome.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.